On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we speak with Joseph Kemp, VP and General Manager for Kinross Gold, Nevada. I think you're really, really, really going to like this one. Let's dive right on in. www.thehopnerd.com for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, howdy, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am Sam Goodman, your host of the Hop Nerd Podcast, along with the Hop Nerd LLC. How are things going in your neck of the woods? I hope that they are going absolutely amazing. Wherever you find yourself in this big, wonky, wild, beautiful, and amazing world, things have been busy. Many of you have been following along with the adventures we've had so far at the beginning of this year, and it's only about to get even busier. So if you need a hand with human and organizational performance, learning teams, and everything in between, make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or slide into the DMs pretty much anywhere that you find me on social media, LinkedIn in particular. Make sure you're following along. You know, Sam Goodman, you can find my ugly mug. It's super duper easy peasy, lemon squeezy to find me. And about the easiest way to get in touch is through email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. And if you would like to learn more about some of these services that we offer, if you'd like to learn more about the podcast or anything that we've got going on, again, just check out the website, thehopnerd.com. So as I mentioned, we have been wildly, crazy, insanely busy, kicking off really even before Christmas last year. Took a couple weeks and then like right back at it. We have been everywhere, kind of around the globe, it feels like, at this point. A few of those highlights being Mauritania and Paracatu, Brazil. And we've just got back from spending 2 weeks in Nevada with the amazing Kinross Gold Corporation. And that's who we're going to talk to again today. We've been doing these in the wild kind of podcasts where I take my little handy dandy recorder and we set up a couple microphones. And I know the sound quality a lot of times sounds like it's in the wild. I don't know. I think we could call that a little bit of ambiance, right? Maybe a little bit, but I have upgraded a bit of the field kit for that. So not yet, not in this episode. So don't get your hopes like super duper up, but you will notice probably in the next few of these, as we start to record more of these, the sound quality, I believe, I hope, fingers crossed, right? I think it's going to get a little bit better. But with all of that being said, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to get out of here and I'm just going to let you listen to me and Joe have a really great conversation about hop and leadership and some really key ideas that he brings to this conversation. So if you need a hand, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Make sure you check out the books, 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less, and all the other ones that you can find over on Amazon. Make sure that you're liking, you're loving, you're sharing the podcast and all the posts and stuff that we do. Again, it just helps us an absolute ton. And I think that's it. I'm not going to come back after this. I'm just going to fade it out to music as I do. So if I won't get a chance to say it, but love you. Mean it. Bye. Enjoy the show. Let's start off, if you don't mind, just telling people who you are, what you do, kind of how you got to doing what you're doing now.
You bet. Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me on the podcast. My name's Joe Kemp. I'm the Vice President, General Manager for Kinross, Nevada, between both Round Mountain and Bald Mountain. Been in mining about 19 years. Yeah. I've been in leadership much longer than that. I kind of view any time that I'm working with people, it's an opportunity to be a leader, whether it's in a professional setting or whether, you know, you're being a parent or even a friend. You've always got an opportunity to be a leader. I got into mining a little bit non-traditional, a lot non-traditional. I've got an agriculture business degree. So I got a football scholarship to Southern Utah University.
Cool.
I wanted to be a large animal vet.
That even cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. Quickly found I didn't have the grades for it. So as I kind of worked through school, I saw that a business degree complementing agriculture was the best way to get out of school with something meaningful. Yeah. That brought me to Elko, working for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, doing farm loan auditing.
Yeah.
So I traveled around the state auditing low or no interest loans that the federal government was giving to kind of small farming and ranching operations. That part was great. It was a great way to see the state. The interesting thing is I never viewed Nevada as a mining jurisdiction, a mining state, which is interesting given that if Nevada were a country, I think the stat is we'd be the third largest gold producer in the world.
Wow.
So it also drives a lot of passion in the industry that growing up in Nevada, going to school close to Nevada and then ultimately coming back to Nevada to work, I never realized we were a mining state.
Yeah.
So it shows the education gap and what we teach people about mining. Anyway, that got me into mining. I've worked my way up through the organization. I started as a environmental engineer doing underground compliance at one of the large mines around Elko. From there, I went to Alaska, worked at a startup operation. That was an excellent experience in building a workforce and then getting into the first couple years of production after a couple years of construction. So from that, worked through various departments, but I think being in safety. So when I went from the environmental department into a safety coordinator role, it really exposed me to the need to get things done through influence and leading. So I think, you know, anybody in a profession that has an opportunity to be in a quote unquote support role, safety, environmental, HR, it's really understanding that you're leading through influence. So your success comes through other people being successful.
Yeah.
So that allowed me to really, really think about, you know, how I'm communicating, what things am I focusing on, what things are we using to build strategy with a team. And you start to see a pattern that as you build buy-in, as you build understanding of the why, people just go and do it. It's a pretty powerful thing once you get the collective group involved. So that's kind of a nutshell how I got into mining and how I got into leadership.
I've got to tell you, I absolutely love it because that is a long and winding road, huh?
Yeah,
it is. That's what I find with most people. And I spend a lot of time talking to safety practitioners, professionals, folks kind of in that world. And I always pick on them for having a long and winding road, but I think yours beats theirs, at least most that I've heard. So that's pretty interesting. So we've been spending time, right? We've been spending a bunch of time. We were just at, and I apologize because I keep getting them backwards. We're at Bald Mountain right now, right?
Correct. Yes.
So we were just at Round Mountain last week, spending time talking HOP and operational learning teams. And now we're at Bald Mountain. We're on the very last day of 3 days together talking operational learning teams. And you've been coming into all these sessions and doing these kickoffs and leading these really engaging conversations with the groups before we get started. And I think the first thing I want to say is just a general statement. It's so meaningful to those folks. And you recognize this. I know that you recognize this. But it's so meaningful to those folks when you come in and you have that bit of conversation with them. And the part that I observe just as a completely unbiased someone is that when you leave, they're just buzzing after that conversation.
Cool.
They do. They genuinely appreciate it. I want you to share a bit, if you don't mind. You've been sharing these three words, and you've been, I don't know, I won't call out your example. If you feel like giving your example that you share with the team, I'll ask you to give it, only if you feel like it,
because sure.
I think it's pretty cool. But if you don't mind, would you mind sharing a little bit of what you've been sharing with them prior to these sessions?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate the feedback. On a side note, that is motivating to see people get engaged and connecting with with what you're saying. So yeah, as a speaker, and I'm sure you can appreciate that, you can feel that when it's happening. So sure. Yeah, thanks for that feedback. So the three words is we're, you know, trying to break down what we're doing from a safety leadership and safety culture standpoint at both mine sites. And we affectionately say here in Nevada, mm-hmm. you've got a choice. You're either going to get round working at a mountain or you're going to get bald working at a mountain. And I'm between both. So I don't know which one's happening faster to me.
Do you guys have like the Ken Ross 30? Like a lot of organizations I go to, you know, so power generation is notorious for this. You go to a plant and it'll be the insert plant name here, 20.
Yeah.
Insert, you know, because most of our organizations, it's we laugh at it. I think it's amazing. But I think most of us have this rule, and it might be unwritten in many organizations, but if you get more than two people together in a room, you have to cater something.
Yeah, right? True. Absolutely.
We have not gone hungry here. I will say that.
Well, good. That's what we like to
hear. I didn't mean to.
No, you're spot on. It's the round or the bald mountain, one of the two. So anyway, yeah, the connection that we're making with the team is I like to sum up safety culture from a leadership perspective as three words. And the first word being curiosity as a leader. It's imperative as a leader, you know, you understand what that means. It's so easy to say, it's a bit harder to do. So we get the group to engage in that word of curiosity. And as a leader, you should be leveraging teams, meaning you should be bringing teams in and understanding that your role as a leader, your title doesn't entitle you to having to have the right answer every time. So we want our leaders to understand that with through curiosity, you get to leverage the experience of the people working around you and with you. And so as you do that, you're asking the questions, you're leveraging people's experience, you're inquisitive about what's happening in the field. You're going out and you're seeing what's happening in the field. Yeah. And then you're soliciting feedback from your team in a curious manner of what's actually happening. How can we as an organization make this work more efficient, which means safer and more productive through what's actually understanding what's happening in the field. And your team is the best source of information to provide that back to you. So we want our leaders to understand that piece, curiosity. And then once you have curiosity, it's just a interesting interaction if you don't have the next piece, which is vulnerability. That's the second word that we discuss with our leadership is when you're curious and you get that information back, you need to have a level of vulnerability about you as a leader to recognize that quite often when you get feedback, it's probably pointing out that you've got something a bit wrong in the organization, or maybe you've missed something, or maybe you've assigned the work improperly. Overall, as humans, it's hard to go, ooh, I've got that wrong. And not only am I hearing what you're pointing out that could be better, I've got to be vulnerable enough as a leader to actually follow up and accept that change might need to happen based off of something that I might have said before.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been mentioning that a lot. And I don't remember where the quote comes from, but I love it. And I share it everywhere that I go. And it's something I know that's been standing out to the groups. And I think it goes right in line with what you're saying. You know, you're curious, you're vulnerable, and you're just viewing information as information. Not good, not bad. If it challenges our assumptions, great. If it proves me wrong, great. It's just information. It's just information to help us make better operational decisions. And so and that's just reverberated through that as well.
Cool.
So yeah, I love that. And there's the
and then the third piece.
The third one, which I think,
so the third one, and it's and again, it's the progression through the thought process. Mm-hmm. You can have the first two. You can successfully get yourself as a leader to be curious and then to be vulnerable. And that's probably the second hardest step. The third one is the part that we typically trip up on as leaders, and that's tenacity. Yeah. And what we mean by that is it's amazing. I'm sure you've experienced this as you've tried to implement change in an organization or you've spoken with leaders. You can get people in a room and understand or gain alignment on what might need to change. Yeah. You can then have a leader that recognizes that and says, hey, you guys are right. I might have been wrong or the organization was wrong, and let's go do that. You can achieve unanimous agreement in a group that this is the right direction to go to, and everybody nods their heads and say, yeah, let's go do that thing, or let's make that change. And then you implement the change on a Monday, and at best, you might have that change implemented through a Wednesday, and we work a Monday through Thursday.
I think Wednesdays might be a stretch in some
Maybe places, Wednesday. Maybe. Sometimes it's the next shift. 12 hours later, it's changed, right? Yeah. So getting people to understand that it's going to fall back.
Yeah.
It'll go back to the original status quo. You can expect that as a leader. So you need that grit. You need that tenacity to appropriately find a way in your narrative and your weekly cadence to keep coming back to that expected change that everybody agreed on. And it takes work. It takes time. It takes repetition. And the cool thing is you can say that in a group, and then you can ask the team, you know, by show of hands, who's implemented change, and everybody will raise their hands. And then you'll say, okay, who's experienced that magical point where you come in and snap of a finger, it's there. It didn't fall back on your days off. It didn't fall back with the next crew change. Now it's implemented. And the powerful thing is now it's part of your culture. And if you can do that in a safety perspective, if you can do that with your teams where you've generated the buy-in, you've generated the culture, and then you've successfully implemented the change, man, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. I love that. I absolutely love that, because I think we all get excited for change. Right?
Yeah.
Of course. So as people, we get excited for change, especially things when we know in the Kinross journey, as an example, you know, as Ian puts it, you know, good, great to extraordinary. Right. And you guys are amazing at what you do.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you're in that place of going, in my estimations, towards extraordinary. I mean, you're great at what you do, but change always sucks.
It does.
And I don't think we say that enough.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the nicest way to put it, is that, and maybe the more accurate way of putting that is, change is great. The work of change sucks.
Right? It's a interesting analogy that I've been saying the last few days.
Yeah, I love this.
And it's the only one I got. So I'm glad you like it. But I equate it to, you know, we ask people by show of hands, and for people listening, you could do this with me.
In the background.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah.
So by show of hands, how many people know that flossing every day is good for your health?
So both of our hands are up, right? both of our hands are up right now. Okay.
That's it. And then you say, okay, everybody look around the room. You see, we all agree that flossing every day is good for our health. And then we say, okay, who actually flosses every day? Keep your hand up.
Yeah.
And then what do you see?
Okay. So both hands are down, or there's an alternate version of this, right? Because there's always a couple hands.
That's right.
That stay up in the room. And what's the,
there's always a couple hands, and you always, and I always go, okay, well, this is an easy way to point out who the liars are in the room, but inevitably 99% of the people, they put their hands down, and we look around the room again and we say, okay, what is that? What's happening there? Where 100% of the people say, yeah, we know this information. We know that flossing every day is good for our health. Yet 99% of the people go, yeah, but we don't do it.
Yeah.
So what we say as a leader, that's change. That's change management. Expect that when you're implementing change, even if you have 100% alignment on the vision and the strategy, you will have to understand that you're trying to get people to floss every day to actually implement that change. And it's hard to do. It's a lot of work.
It is. The work of change sucks. And I think we need to admit that and accept it for what it is. You know, as Ian shared, Ian was on the podcast a while back, you know, he kind of said that in a much nicer way, I think, when he said that, you know, it's a lot, but the butterfly moment's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, that click, absolutely, that kind of moment. We refer to it as we go around this kind of light bulb moment where it finally just kind of happens, that kind of magical part. But yeah, it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of steps. We talk about it in this kind of frame of the way we've traditionally tried to do a lot of our change efforts or improvement strategies, and we try to do stuff to people. But I think through that recognition that it's this ongoing effort, it is repetition, it's that rubber band that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
When we embrace that for what it is, instead of seeing it as this kind of perfectly plotted course across, you know, a sheet of paper, we know it's that, what's that meme that floats around and what we think progress is like. You've probably seen where it's like this perfect line, but then it shows like what reality is, and it's like
the messy line.
Right? I think when we embrace that for what it is, we kind of naturally gravitate towards this doing stuff with instead of to, because we're on this journey together. Like, we understand like the work's going to probably not be that great, but the end result, the place where we're trying to go, is definitely worth it.
Oh, I think you're spot on. And I've got to give a lot of credit to our COO, Claude.
Yeah.
Claude Schimpner has brought in this philosophy and organization through achieving excellence, or through safety excellence, having people understand that it's a journey, it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I gained the most out of the program.
Yeah.
And that there will be mess ups, there will be error, there will be places where we try something and it's not quite successful. Yeah. But understanding that that's a part of the learning process, and that's what Claude and Ian keep telling us through the process, that it's okay to try things, it's okay to miss something because you're learning.
Experiment.
It's what you do with that that really matters. Yeah, and then
give it a shot and be willing to fall a bit flat on your face. Right, that's what we do. That's how we figure things out as humans, right?
You got it.
I mean, we stumble, we fumble, we trip, we fall. We're just talking about scars that we both have on the back of our heads.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We make errors and we learn from them. Mine was falling down a set of steps for one out there that doesn't know.
Yeah.
But that happens, right? And we figure our way through those things. And yeah, we sometimes stub our toes. Yep. Sometimes we catch our shin on the drop hitch, you know, as we're trying to work through change. But we learn that much more from it, right?
Exactly.
We take 5 steps back, and then we take 10 steps forward, and we take a few more steps back, and then we take a bunch more steps forward. And that's just progress.
That's it. And it's a hard thing in an organization. I mean, I bet you see it a lot. You speak with organizations that they know to say that. They know it's the right thing to say.
Yeah.
I think it's a very challenging thing or unique thing for an organization to actually build an environment where it's okay to try new things.
Yeah.
And that's what Ken Ross is doing in the safety space.
You can feel it.
Yep.
Right? You can feel it. And I think it's because, right, you embrace that spirit of giving things a shot.
You got it.
Of trying things out in this. Obviously, that's not just like going out and just like ripping stuff down and going, we're just doing this. You guys are experimenting in these kind of smaller, safe to fail environments. That sounds like a great idea. Let's see if it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's embracing this idea of this journey of progress that, we're going to mess it up. It's probably going to get weird at some points. It's going to get uncomfortable at some points. And that's good.
That's it.
So, last but not least, this is my kind of always final question. And I don't know exactly how it came about, but I don't know how I ended up saying it like this, but it always comes out rather dark. I mean, for you, not dark. But do you have any final words, any last words?
Oh, man, this is my last podcast.
So I kind of threw that out and it just kind of stuck, right? That's how these things kind of happen. But what I mean by that is anything out there that's kind of your pro tip or your little kernel of wisdom that you would want to share with other organizations on this journey, or just other leaders, just folks out there trying to make a difference, bring about change, whatever. And that can be anywhere, anything, whatever you want to share, any bit of wisdom you'd want to share with folks out there.
You bet. Yeah. So there's 3 things that I've been told a lot as I've progressed in my career. One comes from organizations that I align with in philosophy. And that's this piece we've been talking about. Yeah. It's okay to make mistakes. Yeah. If you're moving the needle, you're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to get some stuff wrong, but that's okay. It's what you do with that mistake to learn and grow that marks success or failure, just stepping back and deciding, ooh, that's uncomfortable, I'm not going to do it again. So I think that's point number one. As an effective leader, you've got to be okay with taking some risk and trying new things. And then you also have to create that environment for your people to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't progress. You'll just talk about progressing. You won't actually do it.
Yeah.
So that's point number one. And I mentioned Claude before has fostered that environment within our team to make that happen. The other one comes from my sister, actually. She worked on Wall Street in New York for a long time, and now she's broken away, and her and her husband have moved to Hawaii and started a coffee roasting company. It's tradition coffee. Cooler. Yeah.
Jeez, man. Yeah, what part of Hawaii?
It's on Oahu.
Okay.
On the kind of Kailua North Shore side. Okay. Awesome. And I'll throw a shameless plug in there because she's family, but it's tradition coffee roasters for anybody looking for high quality coffee. Perfect. So I'll stop there. But another phenomenal leader. She's always told me, she said, Joe, think of that next position that you want to be in and conduct yourself in that manner. So don't just stay put in your current role. Think of where you want to go and conduct yourself that way. And people start to view you in that perspective from a leadership standpoint. Yeah. So I've always done that. I've tried to do that. And then the third one comes from my mom, who I believe she got this from her dad, who was Nevada test site director, actually. So a lot of interesting history there. Yeah. And also phenomenal leader. He always just encouraged, and there's a few different ways to say this, but he said, he would say only the pioneers get the arrows. Mm-hmm. So understand that as you're paving a new route, you're going to have detractors. You're going to have people tell you that you're doing it wrong, or you should focus back on what was done and stay in that lens. Yeah. But understand, as you're paving a new route, it's going to be difficult, but that's part of paving a new route.
Yeah.
So stand out and be outstanding.
Love it. Well, man, thank you so much for coming on. I know everyone out there is going to appreciate this one, and they've got a great coffee recommendation.
There you go.
I'm always asking for.
Perfect.
So anyone out there listening, they know this. I try to actively post on social media where I'm going.
Cool.
And the only reason for that is I ask for where coffee's at. Like, I want to know where like the best coffee's at, right? So I know next time I'm down that way.
When you're on Oahu,
I know where I'm
hit tradition.
I know where I'm hanging out. So yeah, and so much great information there for people to absorb. So
right, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you do in the safety space. Yeah, thank you.
Happy to be here, man. For listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.